the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 2. This is the second session of 4 that covers chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And this one is entitled Cleansing. So let's read the passage. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, this comes from Psalm 69, it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Something very interesting is happening in this passage of Scripture. Of course, we are still very early in Christ's 3 years of ministry. Last week, we saw the first of 8 signs of Jesus' messiahship and divinity, the changing of water into wine. Jesus, with a thought, transforms matter. Probably 120 gallons of water, not for drinking, are transformed into the best-tasting wine that anyone has ever had. This is done secretly and quietly because his purpose is to prevent family embarrassment at a wedding celebration. His secondary purpose is for his brand new disciples to begin seeing evidence which confirmed his deity. Thus we see in verse 11 that his disciples believed in him, and so should we. Also remember that John is writing much later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He is writing to a Gentile audience just coming to faith in this Jewish Messiah. So we see John telling us of events likely to convince Gentiles of Christ's divinity. For this purpose, the changing of water into wine is mentioned only in John's Gospel. In like manner, this account of cleansing the temple of greedy merchants and money changers is found only in John. Christ's deity, authority, and righteous anger are openly displayed. But wait a minute, don't Matthew, Mark, and Luke also tell of Christ cleansing the temple? Yes, they do. But the event is placed at the end of the 3-year ministry, not at the beginning. Is there an error here? No. There are 2 cleansings in Christ's ministry, and they are done for very different purposes. Both are fulfillments of prophecy, which we will consider in a minute. This one confirms his deity, and he is apparently not opposed by Jewish leadership, although, as we will see next week, they question him. The second temple cleansing 3 years later causes much resentment and hostility towards Christ. Indeed, it serves as one of the primary provocations which caused the Jewish leadership to plan for his death by crucifixion. There is purpose in both. Jesus is not just a mild, loving, quiet individual trying to help a friend conduct a successful wedding ceremony. He is God the Son who has come to declare the honor and reputation of his heavenly Father. In this cleansing, he performs it with justice openly displayed. He performs it in violent manner, which causes sinners to flee. And he openly declares his purpose. He declares, "Do not make my Father's house a house of commerce." His just anger, although violent, is not in defense of his own reputation, but is done in defense of the honor and holiness of God the Father. The temple is a house of prayer, not greedy commercial trade. So let's realize that everything Christ does is to obey and honor the Father. His actions fulfill prophecies which the Jews should know. Let's look at some of these. In Psalm 69, 6 through 9, we see David praying to God regarding his trial and testing. He declares that his zeal for God's house is overwhelming him. This is true for Christ as well. The cleansing of traitors from the house of the Lord is predicted in Zechariah 14, 20 and 21, and fulfilled in John chapter 2. In Malachi 3, 1 through 4, the Messiah will come suddenly to the Lord's house in manner which cannot be ignored or resisted. Let's turn to Malachi 3, the last book in the Old Testament, and read that passage. So verses 1 through 4 of Malachi 3. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap he will purify and cleanse. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. In Jesus' day, religion had become mechanical, insensitive, materialistic, and opportunistic. Let's pray that such a situation should never occur in our church. So, Father, if ever in my life or anyone else's life, worship and religion becomes automatic, dull, out of a sense of duty, only without a sense of love and respect for who you are and glory in your holiness and in your purity and worshiping you, seeing ourselves as you see us, not as we see ourselves. If that ever begins to happen, Father, we repent. We desire to turn from that. We desire to dedicate ourselves to you in every way that we can, for we love you and desire to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.